Pride Prom gets canceled in the city of Jacksonville. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. And just ahead, June is Pride Month, but it appears not everyone around town is in a celebratory mood. We'll take your calls in a moment on the cancellation of a Pride Prom at a local library branch. What are your thoughts? It's 549-2937. Then later, she's the local mom who brought football to an Alaska town. We'll speak with the author of Northern Lights and find out why her story's getting the Hollywood treatment. All of that and more just ahead this morning. But first this hour, June is Pride Month, but one high-profile event celebrating Pride has been canceled and to some controversy. Now, the Jacksonville Public Library says it was forced to cancel Storybook Pride Prom at the Willow Branch Library due to security concerns. That has sparked an outcry from members of the LGBTQ community. We're beginning the hour with a closer look as we welcome Nicole White with the Unbroken Horizons Scholarship Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
And entertainer Beatrice Palmer, also known as BB Deluxe, who was scheduled to appear at the prom. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
And here's our question to callers. What's your reaction to the cancellation of the Pride Prom at a local library over security concerns? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Already getting lots of tweets. Send them to @MelissaInJax. And our Facebook page is open as well. Let's begin by noting that we did speak with a spokesperson from the Jacksonville Public Library. Chris Bovin told WJCT security was the big issue over the cancellation of Pride Prom. He said that they are heartbroken about this, that they've spent a lot of time and effort planning the event, and that due to protests, particularly on social media from activists who said they plan to protest the event, they felt that they had to cancel the party for kids. Nicole White, you are with Unbroken Horizons Scholarship Foundation. You provide scholarships and support to LGBTQ youth. What's your organization's reaction to this turn of events?
Well, Unbroken Horizons works directly with LGBTQ plus youth. And so as soon as we were tagged in kind of the social media outcry, we instantly went to action and collaborating with people like BB and organizations like Jasmine, not to mention all of the volunteers, the parents, just seemed like the right thing to do and the path that we needed to take instantly.
What's your response to the library saying they just couldn't secure the event, even though there have been plenty of LGBT-themed events at the library before?
There have been. There have been. So security clearly is not the problem. Also, we...
What is the problem?
I think the problem is...
Do you think?
I personally think the problem is overall intolerance. And it's just sad because there are so many organizations and so many individuals who are wanting to support these kids and wanting to have these kids feel safe and welcomed and given the platform and the place to express themselves.
That's what the purpose of Pride Prom was intended to be.
Correct.
It's 549-2937. Now, the Pride Prom, Storybook Pride Prom, was to feature music, dancing, other typical prom night activities, as well as a special guest appearance by you, BB Deluxe.
Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
A blogger on Facebook in particular helped attract attention to this event from outside of Jacksonville, saying that it was inappropriate to have you at a taxpayer-funded facility, the library, performing for children or underage teenagers. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I have experienced a lot of discrimination from people like the blogger in question ever since I came out at the age of 13, in fact, and now I'm almost 30. So it wasn't a surprise that my images had gotten leaked and used out of context. For those that don't know, a popular conservative, religious, anti-vaxxer I don't want to say her name, decided to use my photos and photos of me at events for adults, photos at events where there weren't any children and used them out of context and made it seem like we were going to be sexualizing this event. And the reality is drag is not inherently sexual. Transness and homosexuality is not inherently sexual. The art of dance isn't kept away from children because exotic dancers exist. We still put kids in ballet, so it's the same thing for drag. What I was surprised by was the outpouring of support from my community in defense of me. It was like going through that thread was like looking at an episode of This Is Your Life. It was numerous people from the community vouching for me and saying that, you know, I have every right to be there. And it was definitely a shock when I found out that the library director, Tim Rogers, decided to make the decision to cancel the event.
You spoke with Mr. Rogers and you told him you do not believe security concerns were the real issue. What do you believe was the real issue? Again, we did speak to the library and they cited security concerns.
Yeah, I've heard their script. Basically, they it is hard for me to believe that a public library didn't have access to the security for 100 gay kids. It's when they're gay kids that it's a problem. And there were several instances leading up to the event where I realized something wasn't right. Chris Bolvin and Tim, I always get caught on his last name. What's his last name?
It's Rogers.
Rogers. Tim Rogers. They requested to see photos of what I was going to be wearing, which means that they believed the slander post in the first place. Also, there were a lot of solutions they could have made. They could have removed me from the event. They could have contacted JSO, which they never did. I have insider information saying that they never actually contacted JSO to try to get more security. And they already had two security guards. Plus, we had close to 100 volunteers willing to escort and to drown out the noise. I spoke with Tim on the phone and I asked him, have you ever been to a pride event? Have you ever been to a pride prom? Have you ever dealt with an anti-gay protester? And he said no across the board. So I think it's highly irresponsible to have somebody who's never experienced gay pride in any way, shape or form to make those sorts of decisions for the gay youth, because this wouldn't have happened to any other organization but us.
Let me ask you as a follow-up, you've indicated you and the rest of the folks affiliated with the Pride Prom will still hold it. Where's it going to be?
At this moment, we are not disclosing the location of the replacement Pride Prom because we don't want to attract any negative attention. Ultimately, the message that we were backhandedly given by Tim Rogers was that, quote, people were making this about them. And I asked him to elaborate on that and he refused, which means that he believes that us trying to have a pride prom and responding to the hate is the same as the people creating the hate. So that's that guy. We're going to still have the prom. We had four churches in the area volunteer their church as a venue. And I think that's wonderful that a church decided to speak out against this sort of hate and discrimination. We have chosen a church, but every church that reached out to us, we were going to be having some kind of event at for the next following months. Me and my friends joke that we're going to turn Pride Month into Pride Year. So it is now my mission to make sure that there is family-friendly LGBT entertainment for gay kids, gay teens, parents of gay teens. We need to have more options than to tell these youth that we belong in a gay bar or in adult conversations. We belong everywhere.
That is the intent of this event, Nicole White. It's a support event for LGBT youth so that they can enjoy prom and be themselves,
100%.
And so going beyond the issue with the library, how do you work with other organizations in this community like Jasmine, which also works with LGBT kids, to provide that kind of support?
I think a lot of it is just straight up getting involved. And I think especially now, people are at a crossroads figuring out for themselves, where do they stand on these issues and what are they willing to stand up for? So our organization, collaborating with Jasmine, collaborating with Bibi, and getting involved to make sure that these kids are finding safe spaces and safe places to experience support and love and feel truly accepted no matter what.
What's your response to those who've said, I have no problem with the event, but I don't feel it's appropriate to hold it at a facility that gets taxpayer funding, such as the library? What's your answer to that argument?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I think taxpayer funded or not, a space is a space, and to be fully inclusive.
LGBT Americans pay taxes.
Absolutely.
100%.
So, you know.
I was also appearing for free. I was not being paid for my services. I actually have a show that very night. I still have a show that very night that I have to be at. I have to produce. I have to lead. And I decided to go for free. So this discussion about taxpayer dollars is truly ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Jacksonville is ranked as one of the most conservative cities in America. Do you
for now
believe? Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. Do you believe this city is homophobic?
Oof. Well, I think that question kind of answers itself. I think unfortunately, yes, it is. It's homophobic. It's transphobic. For the amount of progress that we have made, over the years, there is still so much more work to be done.
Let's go to some calls now as Pride Prom is canceled at the library during June this Pride month. What are your thoughts? It's 549-2937. Give us a call. Laura is in Avondale. Hi, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
I was just calling in because this issue about taxation. You know, I'm a parent. I'm a parent of an LGBTQ youth. She's a teenager. I believe that my tax dollars should be used appropriately, and taxes are put into the community for everyone to use, not just people that have an agenda for homophobic thoughts and ideas. I'm sorry, I'm more articulate than this, and I am outraged and heartbroken that this is happening.
Had you planned to bring your child to the event, Laura?
I had not planned to bring my child to the event. Actually, my child is in Atlanta with her father, but I had planned to volunteer to escort, provide a safe buffer for children that are wanting to have this experience. My child grew up in a Catholic school. She did not have an environment where she felt safe a lot of times, and she didn't feel that she didn't have something like this. And this is a great opportunity for children that aren't in the mainstream of what people think children should be. They are born the way that they are, and they need to be loved unconditionally and supported and seen and valued.
Thanks for the call, Laura. Bibi, tell me a little bit about your experience going to schools in Jacksonville and growing up here. What was it like for you?
It wasn't easy. I came out at age 13. I knew I was queer, different, as early as 8. And my parents were very careful with telling me, like, hey, you might need to wait a little longer, because the world's not ready for you. And when I was 13, I couldn't take it anymore. And it was rough. Teachers at my school tried to keep me from going on field trips.
Where'd you go to school?
Darnell Cookman. Yeah. And teachers from my school tried to keep
me. Why didn't they want you to go on field trips?
There's always some kind of move the goalpost reasoning why. And their specific reasoning at that point is, we're concerned they're going to slip off with some adult. Yeah. I was 13 years old, and I had no chance at living as the other ones, because when these people look at us, they just see sexuality. They just see sex. I had no chance to be an actual 13-year-old who wanted an innocent same-sex partner. I was a 13-year-old who was a deviant and had deviant thoughts on my mind. And they said that I couldn't go on a certain field trip unless my dad was there. Jasmine was a huge resource in making sure that I developed the articulation that I have today as an adult. And it was their involvement in my life and their alternative proms that provided me a semblance of the platform that I have today to step on.
We're getting tweets, meanwhile, from Jasmine tweeting the show. Cindy Watson, who runs that organization, tweeted the show. I'm saddened that after our 25-year history working with the Willow Branch Library to give LGBTQ youth safe space, the administration cannot stand up to out-of-town harassment and link arms with the massive community support for this event. Nicole White, we had you on the show today rather than Jasmine just because we try to feature lots of different organizations on this program. So, but I appreciate Jasmine weighing in.
As do I.
Is there massive community support for this event?
Yes. Yes, there is massive community support. We want, this event, it's happening. It's happening. It's not going anywhere. And so the support has continued to pour in.
Here's a tweet from Jimmy. I would normally say the show must go on, but when it comes to credible threats of violence against 14-year-olds, that's a different set of considerations. The community is taking care of the event on Friday, and we will hold the library accountable for future LGBTQ programming. What about that argument that the library, even though it's getting hammered, was trying to make sure kids didn't get hurt?
If we are so concerned about the credibility of these threats, why is this not being reported? Why is this not being reported as a hate crime? Why has JSO not been involved? Why was this decision made entirely within the walls of the Jacksonville Public Library? One step further, why haven't we been honest with the amount of calls and support that the library received in addition to the harassment messages they've received? We just caved to the harassment.
They received a lot of negative calls and messages on social media and a lot of positive calls. They received both.
They had a choice.
It's 549-2937. Sarah is in Lakeshore. Hi, Sarah. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time to have my call. BB, I just want to say thank you for sharing your story. Makes me very emotional to think about the journey that it took you to get to where you are. So I thank you for sharing that. I just want to make the point that as a public institution getting taxpayer money, the library is obligated to represent all factions of our community, not those who are, as PB very eloquently articulated, are in any way demonstrating a credible threat to another faction. But in this country, we have a wonderful history of, you know, the government stepping in when terrible things have been done to minority populations and using taxpayer money to fight for justice. Now, that's been a very long road, and it's been very, very hard fought. However, it is my view that it is precisely because this is a public institution that the event should take place at a library, because, you know, it is separated from a faith community that perhaps would have, you know, ideals that would teach them to be opposed to this population. Anyway, so I apologize. I kind of said more than I meant to, but my question is, why was the library chosen in the first place as the venue for this event?
Thanks for that question, Sarah, and thanks for all of your thoughts. Nicole White, it's my understanding that this library branch had worked with the LGBT community on a lot of other events in the past, so that's why.
That's my understanding as well. They have had other programming for the LGBTQ plus community.
Okay, and so was it a surprise then, BB, that this controversy erupted? And was it due, in your opinion, to protests on social media that had come from outside Jacksonville? Is that what drove this flare-up?
Absolutely. I mean, there are conservative bloggers who make it their mission to track any and every drag queen storytime event and have their League of Followers.
Wait, let's go back and talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
You, because not everyone, I don't think everyone understands the backstory.
Apologies.
No problem. You have participated in a local version of a national event called Drag Queen Storytime.
Yeah.
That is an event for adults. And because of your participation in that, people who were opposed to you appearing at the prom, particularly one activist on Facebook, raised objections.
Yes.
Is that a fair assessment of the sequence of events?
Yeah. Okay. I've been hearing about drag queens reading stories to kids for a while, and I was asked to appear at a local business and do story hour, and we did it the first time, and there were no protesters, and the second time we had protesters across the street.
But and what's your response to those who feel it's inappropriate for kids?
I think that people who think this is inappropriate for kids are leading from a place of great ignorance triggers people, but you just don't know. You've never met a trans person. You've never met a gay person. You've been told, and they like to move the goalpost and say, I don't have a problem with gay people. I just need them to stay in their bars and stay in adult conversations. But the reality is there's nothing sinister or inherently sexual about two men being together, two women being together, or someone deciding that they want to live their life as a woman when they were born male or vice versa. The people who are afraid of us and accuse us of being sexual have that on their minds, and they're projecting it onto us. And because they're in a position of some theoretical invisible power, they feel like they're emboldened by that. And canceling this event emboldens that attitude. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Doug in Mandarin. Hi, Doug. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right. Go ahead.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment because I'm 56 years old, and I grew up in this community. And I'm gay, and I had to actually leave the community to, you know, go other places to come out and be okay with myself. I had a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-esteem issues. But being in a community away from Jacksonville that was accepting and actually just sort of normal to be gay, and I moved back here a few years ago, and it's just so maddening to see how little Jacksonville has progressed since I left here in the early 80s. There's a huge problem with youth, with not just HIV transmission, but drug use. And I think part of it stems that this community is not accepting. If you look at the News for Jack's website and all the comments that are on this, I mean, these are your friends and neighbors. And if you're an LGBTQ youth, reading those stuff, you know, you can see just how unwelcoming and how hateful people are.
Doug, I'm sorry you had that experience, and I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Doug. Here's a tweet from Ellen. I've taken my 5-year-old to BB Deluxe's story time, and it was delightful. It opened the door to my young child for awesome conversations about expression and love. Every child can benefit from BB's message of being proud of who you are. Thanks for that tweet. I think I incorrectly said a moment ago that the story time events you participated in were for adults. So let me correct that. Here's a tweet from another listener. Please point out the American Library Association has sponsored similar events. Mm-hmm. Nicole White, if these events are common in libraries around the country and the American Library Association has sponsored them, is Jacksonville an outlier then in this in canceling this event?
I hate to sum up an entire city because of a few select individuals who were spearheading shutting this down. I know so many organizations and amazing people who are in support of events like this and in support of story time, in support of alternative proms. And so I hate to think that this city of Jacksonville is on the outskirts of what could be so much progress, but yet here we are.
The story has made news outside of Jacksonville on a few national media outlets and blogs. And so when you talk about the updating of the human rights ordinance in Jacksonville, which was controversial and was a matter of public debate for a number of years, the corporate leadership in Jacksonville, including chamber leadership, pushed very hard for the updating of the HRO, pointing out that homophobia and transphobia and discrimination against LGBTQ people is bad for a city's bottom line and its global reputation. And so how do you think this reflects on, I guess, Jacksonville's efforts to be more inclusive? Because on the one hand, great strides have been made. On the other, there's been a lot of upset over this cancellation.
Yeah.
Phoebe.
So many people worked tirelessly at the HRO for years and years and years. Fun fact, I've been fired from multiple jobs for being gay because the HRO did not protect me. And now I'm trans. And I'm deciding at a point in my life, I'm visibly trans, and I can only find employment at places where it is run by LGBT and it's private. So the HRO was supposed to protect us from things like this. And there's a thing that people like to do where they bring up supposed, imagined, or real threat of safety. So someone can say, oh, there's a threat of safety, and they shut it down. And that's their way of getting around free speech. And that's what happened here. And my mission is to make sure that that doesn't happen, not in my town, ever again.
So the show will go on, or the party will go on?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
This Friday night.
And I'm asking that any parents whose kids had RSVP'd for the prom to reach out to me on either of my Facebook pages, my personal or my main. We're working very hard to get you guys the information exclusively to you and no one else. And but we have lots of really big, exciting events that I can't fully talk about now, but they're coming, and your kids will have an opportunity to be themselves and express themselves multiple times a year in public.
Well, thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Nicole White, Unbroken Horizons Scholarship Foundation. Beatrice Palmer, also known as BB Deluxe. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And up next, how a local mom changed an Alaska town through football, and why her story is getting the Hollywood treatment. We'll speak with the author of Northern Lights. That's next.
Lindsay Kilbride, host of WGCT's podcast, What It's Like. It starts with some of the best conversations recorded in Jacksonville by StoryCorps.
I remember being on the school bus and passing by and seeing you outside. You were under the addiction at the time.
And then I go deeper into the story.
How do you cope with the guilt you still feel? How do you cope with that?
Subscribe to What It's Like from WGCT wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Friday for the Florida Roundup, where we talk about the biggest stories in the state.
From politics to education, the environment, and more. If it's news in Florida, we want to hear from you.
Let your voice be heard. Join the conversation on the Florida Roundup.
Fridays at noon on WJCT.
JU and Mosh present Above and Beyond, a 90-second shortcast during Science Friday on 89.9 WJCT. Tune in for special Chasing the Moon segments starting now through July 12th.
Relax Radio, playing the soundtrack of your life nightly at midnight, only on 89.9 FM WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, she's the local mom who made national headlines when she worked to bring an artificial turf football field to a high school team way up north of the Arctic Circle in Alaska. Here's Kathy Parker's story after she was profiled as NBC's Person of the Week.
But for Barrow, Alaska's new high school team, it's especially rough.
Good job.
The field, let's just say, is a bit harsh, much like life in this remote village high above the Arctic Circle, where drugs, dropouts, and suicides plague the young. 4,000 miles away in Florida.
We had no idea what we were doing.
The wife of a high school football coach went to work on an improbable idea.
They were going to try to get us an artificial turf football field. It's like, thank you.
And Kathy did it. Now, as you heard, Kathy is a coach's wife and a football mom at Bartram Trail High School. She wrote about her experience in the book Northern Lights, and it tells the inspirational true story of how a Florida community came together to help a high school football team 4,000 miles away in the northernmost place in America. Now, this story is getting the Hollywood treatment. Yeah, a movie is in the works. Kathy Parker is having a book signing event tonight, and she joins us now with a preview and a look inside Northern Lights. Kathy Parker, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, your story began in 2006. How did you first hear about this high school football team's troubles in Barrow, Alaska?
Well, in 2006, in the late fall, ESPN actually did a story on, and it was on a series called Outside the Lines, and on this community who had started a football program in order to turn around some of their social problems. And my husband at the time was an assistant coach at Bartram Trail High School. Three of my boys were playing there. We were very involved in that community and in sports. Our daughter, I can't leave her out because she's a great athlete too. Uh-huh. She plays softball. And, you know, we had seen what sports had done in the lives of young people, and especially the game of football. It's one of those sports that you know, anybody can play. They have a lot of players on the team. It doesn't cost the kind of money that some of the specialized other sports may. You don't have to buy a really expensive bat or, you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of kids can gravitate towards that sport. And it had done a lot. We'd seen a lot. My husband had played. We'd been married through college, and he'd played professionally as well. And so there were just a lot of things that I had seen at different levels. But at Bartram Trail, under Coach Darryl Sutherland, he's still there today, he was just doing things the right way, and it really involved a character curriculum with the kids on the team called Men Built for Others. And it was just one of those things that, you know, that community in Barrow was starting that program, and it showed, you know, how controversial it was and how people thought it was a waste of money, and they had to fly to play every opponent. They played on, you know, gravel because they couldn't grow grass.
This team is in such a remote location. Yes. They literally have to fly to go to away games.
Exactly.
And they are playing on this hard, rocky gravel,
yes.
Or they were.
Yes.
You decided to help with that. And you raised, this is amazing, you raised $500,000 in just 6 months. And you also figured out how to get all the materials for their new artificial turf field all the way across the frozen tundra.
Well, the beauty of this story is that there's no way that I was able to do that. It was people that heard us talking about it. You know, we did a lot of media. I spoke at civic groups, and people with their talents and their resources would say, and right here in Jacksonville, the Grimes Company, we'll oversee the transportation, and then UPS, they came on board. We'll do the transportation through the lower 48. Just on and on and on. People volunteering to do what they could do. To partner. One of those grassroots things, just ordinary people saying, hey, you know, I can help with this part. I can help with that part.
It took a village, in other words,
exactly.
To help this village. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're in one of the most southern parts of the U.S., Jacksonville, Florida. You made a big impact in the northernmost community in America.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
So what was it like for you to spend time all the way up there above the Arctic Circle?
Well, I was able to go for the very first time, and there was a group of 13 of us from Jacksonville that went to watch that first game.
And on the new field.
On the new field. And that was August 17th in 2007. And we were on the flight. We were with ABC News crew. It was a big deal. There was national media coming in to experience this game on the field, on this bright blue. I have to say that for people who don't know that it is very blue, royal blue and yellow end zones. Just a beautiful, beautiful field. And I am glad that I had never been to Barrow before, because I don't know. I think I'm a person with a lot of faith, but boy, you know, it was like, what was I thinking?
When I watched the piece on NBC News, it was incredible to look at how different the sky is up there.
You know,
it's a very different
environment. Okay, it is. And I had someone tell me that was from Barrow that, you know, especially that time of year before it, you know, snows and everything becomes white and iced, they said that everything's a shade of gray. And I did not understand that until I went and saw it for myself. And in our photos, some of our photos, you can't really distinguish where the land, the sky, and the sea, you know, you have to really look, because there's not a different lot of variation, and there's just not a lot of color. There's no vegetation,
right?
No grass, no trees, nothing like that. And I was worried at first when we picked the color, and I picked it because it was cheaper and I could get it cheaper, and it was their school colors, the blue and yellow. But I was a little disappointed at first because I thought I really wanted it to look like grass, but it was so perfect because, In Barrow, one of the things they paint their signs on their buildings, even the dumpsters, the kids will spray paint them because that's color. And in their homes, they use very bright colors because that's how they can implement color into their life.
They need some color, sure.
And so flying over that field for the first time, I just wept because that color, it just stood out. It was just so bright and so beautiful. And I'm so glad that we went with that unusual blue and yellow.
It is really cheery to look at. Okay, so you wrote the book Northern Lights, telling this story, and you hit the jackpot because so few books are successful to begin with. And even going further, very few books get the interest of Hollywood. But your story is being made into a movie, and it's being directed by a big name, mm-hmm. Andy Tennant.
Yes.
He made very successful films like Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon, mm-hmm. Hitch with, I think, Will Smith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Other big popular movies.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to have your story being told by Hollywood?
Well, actually, we sort of did it backwards. The prospects of the movie started happening first. And,
oh, really?
And I had written down a lot, just chronological events, and to be able to funnel to the script writers for the movie. But it was actually after they had started working on the script that I got extremely motivated to do the book, and then was offered a book deal. So, but the neat thing, and I've had to learn all this. You know, I really didn't know anything about you know, the movie industry, but you know, it's such a short time period to be able to tell a story. You've got about 90 minutes. You know, they've told me it's about 40 or 50 pages of a book, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to tell the story, and it's entertainment, and it's, you know.
Yeah, there'll be some changes.
You'll have to mold some characters together, you know.
But who do you want to play you in the movie?
Well, you know, that is one of those things that it was fun at first when we first started talking about it. But then when I read the script and I see that it has to have, you know, your character flaws, which mine are real easy to see, I was like, that's not a lot of fun anymore. You
know? You'll be a real person on the big screen, but you've got to have some thought of which actress should play you.
I will tell you, they told me I can't say because they're in negotiations, but it's they're big names. And so that's real exciting.
I'm picturing a number of famous actresses that I think could play you really well.
And you know, they have to get that like Southern accent down.
A Southern accent. That's right. In a way, this is not unlike the film The Blind Side, where Sandra Bullock played a woman from the South who championed one talented football kid in particular. Yeah. But this is a different story, but also a really amazing story, because as I'm reading here from your information, the football program in Barrow, Alaska has helped the graduation rate go up.
Yes.
Well, it has helped with other social programs affecting kids in the town.
Yes. Well, I've seen the change because I've gone up several times since then. But when I got actual data and started looking at the data, it was astounding. Before football program was implemented and the field was put in, they only had like a 47% retention rate where they could keep kids through the high school years. And in 2 years, it went to like 89% of retention rate of keeping kids in school. That's huge, almost doubled in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So there was a drastic shift that happened. Their team as well continues to thrive. They won their state championship in 2017. And we were there at the game, had a chance to go to witness that. And I'm just, you know, of course, I'm crying, just thinking, wow, it can't get any better than this. And then they announced that the team had also won the highest GPA for the grade point average for the teams in the state. So they've done really well. I get to, you know, talk a good bit over the phone with players that have played on that original team and how excited they are for, you know, the movie. They're real excited about that. They're real excited about the book. They want the book. They want to see if they're in the book, you know.
Well, if your curiosity is piqued about the book and this story, you're in luck, because to celebrate Northern Lights and the community that made all of this possible, Kathy Parker is hosting a launch party and a book signing today.
Yes.
At Bono's Pit Barbecue in Julington Creek. And this is an all-day, all-night celebration. Beginning at 11 a.m. today, go to Bono's at 100 Bartram Oak Park in St. John's and get a copy of Northern Lights. Meet not just Kathy, but her son Kyle, who played for the Rockies and Clemson. Some other football players will be on hand. And even the producer of the film.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I'm assuming will also be called Northern Lights. Yes. That's a great title. Mm-hmm. Don't screw with the title, Hollywood. And so, Kathy Parker, it's such a pleasure to meet you. And kudos on this. It's really exciting to see a local author have her story told on such a big stage. And we can't wait to see the film. So,
well,
thanks so much.
And it was important for me to come back to Jacksonville and do it here to celebrate with the people who really were the ones who were the catalysts that made it happen.
Thanks, Kathy. Again, she'll be at Bono's today at 11 a.m. in St. John's. And in a moment, if you're newly sober but you still want to go out with your friends, here's the latest trend, non-alcoholic bars, including a new one in Jacksonville. That's next.
More of your favorite PBS shows than ever before.
This is the future!
With PBS Passport, a member benefit that lets you binge many of the latest shows and catch up on your favorites.
We really are living in the modern world.
Anytime you want.
Wow, how about that?
Anywhere you are.
There's literally nothing like this in the world.
Learn more at wjct.org/passport.
More than 20 Democrats are hoping to be the next president of the United States, which is going to be tough for voters.
If people aren't sure who to vote for and they're just overwhelmed by the long slate of candidates, one very unfortunate consequence of that could be that people just don't turn out to vote.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. Too many choices is an actual economic thing. We'll tell you more next time on Marketplace.
Today at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, comic and actor Rami Youssef. He co-created and stars in a Hulu semi-autobiographical series called Rami about being the son of Egyptian immigrants and surprising friends by actually being an observant Muslim, but not observant about everything. He has a new HBO stand-up comedy special that premieres Saturday night. Join us today at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
In survey after survey, healthcare costs rank as our top concern. The Democratic candidates are preparing to lay out and debate their plans this week, and the president is promising to force more transparency from insurance companies. What healthcare issue tops your agenda, and who do you trust to do something about it? Next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, it's a new trend getting pretty popular around the country and the world with both newly sober people and what you might call the sober curious. Non-alcoholic bars are taking off, including here in Northeast Florida. We're taking a closer look with Lauren Titus, editor of Edible Northeast Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jan Quintero. He's one of the owners of Wild Crafters. That's a new non-alcoholic bar getting ready to open in Five Points. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So in a moment, we'll hear all about Wild Crafters, which sounds really interesting. But first, Lauren, why are non-alcoholic bars getting so popular, do you think?
Well, I think there's a general growing interest in wellness from what we eat to what we drink. You know, there's a popular trend right now in January, Dry January, as it's called, where people take the month off from all the holiday partying and, you know, dry up a little bit. So I think a lot of people like that feeling and they want to continue it throughout the year.
People are recognizing the benefits of laying off alcohol, if not forever, at least some of the time.
Right, right. Taking a break. You know,
yeah.
and enjoying socializing without feeling the need to have alcohol.
Alcohol culture is so much about human connection and socializing. So is this a way to fill that gap if you've decided to quit drinking, but you miss the human connection?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's something for people who don't want to just sit at the bar with a club soda with lime in the glass, for instance. And it's not just the non-alcoholic bars, but it's the restaurants and the regular bars who are really looking to extend their offerings.
So, Jan Quintero, you saw the opportunity as this trend was growing in other cities and other countries, and you decided to open up Wild Crafters. Tell us about Wild Crafters.
Yeah, kind of like that, I guess. The whole idea started actually as a tea house. That was the first concept I had in mind. And then the idea of bringing Cava to Jacksonville also was in the back of my mind together with the tea. As we all know, Jacksonville has a lot of good coffee, good beer, good food. But we were lacking a good place to go have a nice cup of tea. And then Cava, it's something that I've been using for a while, and it helps to relax. It's good for you as long as you don't do it too often.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacksonville wasn't aware of.
You'll be the first place to serve Cava in Jacksonville?
Correct.
Now, this is made from the root of a pepper plant. It's popular all over the world. It's a relaxing drink, Pacific Island drink. It can sort of mellow you out and it brings a numbing sensation to the mouth. So if you're trying to wean off alcohol, people that want something non-alcoholic, they like kava for this reason, right?
Correct. And also just at the end of the day, you want to wind down from work, you know, and you just take a little bit and it takes anxiety away. It might even help you sleep better.
What's it taste like?
Not so good.
It's a
root. Well, but the effects are wonderful. So sometimes you can give up a little bit of the taste just to have a really good experience, especially if you're trying to not be drunk or hangover.
Yeah.
Or hungover, I mean.
And you'll have teas, non-alcoholic craft cocktails, other concoctions. This will be located at 2105 Park Street, half a block down from the Five Points intersection, a brand new place for Jacksonville. And it's interesting when you look at this, Lauren, studies have been done just recently looking at the rise in Americans going alcohol-free or dry for a month, trying to engage more in abstinence. It seems counterintuitive because you tend to think of America as a hard-drinking society, mm-hmm. but not always.
No, not really. And, you know, a lot of times what the folks who are trying not to drink alcohol look for is flavor, you know, and as we look to craft cocktails, perhaps we need to come up with a new name for them beyond just cocktail. You know, mocktail is something that's used commonly, but to me, that's kind of a derogatory, mm-hmm. you know, substitution for what to call non-alcoholic or no spirit-free or zero spirit. Some of those terms are being kicked around right now.
It needs a new brand. That's right. In the meantime, Jan Quintero, when is Wild Crafters opening up?
So we're set to open sometime this fall. We've been trying to get open before that, but sometime this fall we'll be ready for that. And like Lauren said, I'm kind of opposed to the mocktail concept. Wild Crafters, for example, and many other non-alcoholic bars are set for adults with a social setting, just like any other bar. Cocktails are going to be as elaborated as any other cocktail, and we will have spirits in it. So the process of making a lot of these drinks are just as, you know, complex as any other cocktail is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going for the cocktail. and also, you know, sometimes you want to go ahead and have a good time, but not feel like you are getting drunk.
That's right. And this is part of that. And so we look forward to the opening up of Wild Crafters in Five Points, as Yang said, opening up this fall. Lauren Titus, editor of Edible. You can read more about this in this month's issue. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. On tomorrow's show, just how vulnerable is North Florida to rising waters? A local think tank is looking at that, and we'll have their findings tomorrow. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.